God, collectively, as your people, we pray for your healing on our city. We want to come before you and we want to repent on behalf of our city. We want to turn away from every stronghold of fear and division. We want to break agreements with things that have existed in our city for generations that preceded us. We want you to fill the spaces of division in our city with unity. We want you to fill the spaces of brokenness in our city with your healing. We want you to fill the spaces of fear in our city with love. We want you to be God over this city, over this region. God, we want your power on display. We want your love and grace to reign. We want your rule and power to show up in amazing ways. God, we need your hope to just refuse our city. And God, we pray for that together. God, we stand together as people who call on you, who've been rescued by you, who've been reconciled back to you. And we say, God, we want your kingdom in our city. We want more of your kingdom on display in Cincinnati. We want more of the Christ-like, Jesus-loving, Holy Spirit-filled kingdom operating in every structure, every institution in our city, every realm of society. God, we want you to reign. Collectively, as one body, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. For yours is the power and the kingdom and the glory forever, and all of God's people together sing. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, Crossroads. Great to have you here. Why don't you stand up? We're going to sing together a little bit, right?
God of our fathers, known of old. God of our fathers, known of old. Lord of our far-flung battle line. Your uphill hands are clearly seen throughout our lives. Lord of hosts, let us not forget, let us not forget. You came, you saved, you conquered hell and death. You worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I will worship your holy name. Yeah. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawn. It's time to sing your song again.
Yeah. Well, good morning. God is a good dad, is he not? He is a good dad. Very thankful for him. Very. All right, a few things I want to cover this morning. First of all, if you didn't notice, a lot of activity happening out in the parking lot. That's because we have our Thanksgiving food drive return. Yes. Now, as I mentioned last week, if you got a box, you just forgot to bring it back today, no worries. You can get it back by early afternoon. But remember, make sure you bring it back because someone is expecting that box to come back. If they don't have it back, they're going to go hungry, they're going to cry, and you're going to go to hell. So we talked about that last week. So just a reminder, we're serious about that. So please bring that back. Also, Thanksgiving is a great time. It's my personal favorite holiday. And the special tradition we do around here at Crossroads is have a Thanksgiving Eve service. So 7 o'clock right in here or whatever site that you happen to be at. I don't know if we'll be streaming that or not, those of you who are streaming right now. I'm not sure if we are, but 7 o'clock. Hey, if you got family in town, bring them in. Bring them in. It's going to be a really good time to just set yourself towards gratitude in your relationship with God. After that, we know we have Christmas coming, and one of our Christmas traditions here at Crossroads is to give away free awaited tickets. We're hoping that 100,000 people we're going to serve this year through the awaited show. Anybody fans of awaited in here at all? Yeah. So we've added another show, and we're going to give out tickets on Tuesday, so get ready to have that. And remember, invite friends. You want to invite friends to that thing. Take tickets that you know that your friends are going to use. If you find out that your friends are not going to be using those tickets, return them in. It's one of the ways that we keep bringing folks in to try to touch them with the love of who Jesus is and the revolutionary power that God has in their life. Also, another thing that's free is labor. Free labor. We want free labor. We want some volunteers who are going to help park cars and make cocoa and hand out programs. It's a great way to give in the holiday spirit by serving somebody, by having a Christmas experience. So check out that website. We would love to have you serve with us. We need you to serve with us. Well, we're going to have the opportunity to take up an offering. And when we take up this offering, we're going to take a look at a teaser of what the awaited show looks like. Later on in the service, you notice when you got this coming in here today, if those are new, you're going to be a little bit freaked out, but this is going to be a really great service for you. I'll talk to you in just a moment. You got these cards. Everyone who's been around here knows that we're going to use these cards. We're not going to do anything with these cards right now. We're going to just have our regular offering. Later on, we're going to be able to commit above and beyond what we regularly give for a 3-year period to bless people in our city and all across the world and in our neighborhoods, our friends. And let's just remember, when we give right now in the bags or on your give app, crossroads.net/give, this is the bread and butter of how we get stuff done around here. This covered the six figures infrastructure costs that we had to do Thanksgiving food drive. I know we all buy food, but man, there's tents, there's trucks, there's all kinds of PR. This covers stuff like 1,000 people in South Africa are alive right now and thriving because we support them when they have HIV. This covers stuff like WizKids, $1 million a year towards CityLink, girls that we rescue and keep the homes going, that we're bringing them to wholeness in India. This covers the infrastructure for Awaited, hundreds of thousands of dollars to pull off Awaited, and it covers all of the spiritual growth that you've had in your life. It's not cheap. There's a structure around here that keeps that going. So we're going to be able to give to our normal ministry fund, as we always do. And while we do that, and by the way, if you're new today, no worries, we're really honored to serve you, and I think you're going to learn a lot about our church today. So let's take a look at what's coming up in just a few weeks. Yes, it is coming. It is coming. So if you're brand new today, you have walked into arguably the most important weekend in the history of Crossroads. This thing that we've been a part of, the I'm In campaign, we're finding out who's actually in on the vision God is giving our church. Who's in on that? Not who attends, but who's actually in. And who's in on seeing God's purposes continuing to spread all over the world. We have this really weird idea, an unbiblical idea in our culture that says that the closer you get to God, the smaller things get, the more serene things get. That's not the way it goes. In the Bible, the closer you get to God, the more things grow, the more things expand. So a theme verse that we've had for our campaign is Acts 1:8, where Jesus says, go into all the world, Jerusalem, where you are, Judea, the next ring out, Samaria, the next ring out, and to the ends of the earth. And so there's a lot that's riding on what we're doing in here today. A lot that's riding on it. It is big and important stuff. Jerusalem was the place where they started. Our Jerusalem is our home base. It's our current sites. It's all of our sites that we have right now, making sure those sites are maxed out to capacity and we have the proper infrastructure for all of our current sites. Then Judea, new sites. We want to do new sites all over the region, all over our city. I can't imagine what Crossroads would be like right now if you weren't here. And the way you got here is someone paid and gave for your seat and for you to have room right here. And we want to do that for more and more people to come into relationship with Christ. And when that happens, we have a wider base of infrastructure to bless people and build on the way. And by the way, if you're ever excited about this stuff, you can like be happy for it too. You're sitting there like, oh, yeah. We want to go out beyond that. We want to go to Samaria. Samaria was things that were unusual for the Jews to do. So we got a couple things this campaign that are unusual. We want to make sure that we don't have to have a building to reach people, that we want to have a digital infrastructure, Crossroads Anywhere, to reach people and coalesce people together in cities all over the nation, inside of their homes, whether it's 4 people or 40 people or whatever it is. That's a $10 million project. And we want to do that. We want to have camp land, to be able to have men be able to go there and women be able to go there and families and kids to get outside of our electronic world. We want that. And then we have reach out initiatives, ends of the earth kind of stuff, where we help those in poverty. We want to build into CityLink. We want to have social enterprise happening to a greater degree in CityLink. We're funding people starting their own businesses, their own nail salon, their own dog walking business, something to put food on the table for themselves. We also want to take CityLink over to South Africa. We want to drop it there. We want to give people an opportunity to learn how to be self-sufficient and come out of themselves. In Nicaragua, we've served 6,000 kids right now are being fed and educated by our generosity, and we want to give them bathrooms. We want to give them our partners' rouge for them to work in when it's raining. We want to go to India. We want to rescue more girls out of sex slavery. We want to have more homes that are bringing girls to wholeness, and we also want to be able to educate parents who are in the outlying areas of India who unwittingly give their daughters to a long-lost relative to bring them into the city to find employment, to tell them, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Your daughter is going to get sold. Do not do that. We want to do all of these things because God's asked us to do these things. He's inviting us to do these things. Now, before we do anything with the scary part in this, I just want to get like logistics over. I want to do a logistical thing before I do another biblical thing. Let's just get the basic stuff over and done with, like our name on here. Yeah, it's easy. This is the non-butt pucker stuff. This is going to make later on much easier. Your first name, your last name, make it nice and neat, because whatever we do later on, we're going to be following up our financial department to make sure we got the numbers right and make sure everything is hunky-dory with an email or a letter. So we want to make sure that our records are accurate and everything is double-checked. Your email address, please be as legible as possible. Street address. City. Every time I write city, I go, why do we have to have a city that's so long and complicated to spell? State, zip code, you got it. And then your spouse's name, if you're married, you only do one card for your spouse, for you and your spouse, just one, okay? All right, good. These cards right here were filled out several days ago by a bunch of our leaders. We try to operate around here the way that the Bible tells us to operate. So we just find out that works really, really well. Like the Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, go, always be growing, always be reaching new people. That's an absolute. If you don't like that idea, then you don't like the ideas of Jesus. That's an absolute. And whenever you have campaigns, we've learned from what the Bible does in campaigns. Campaigns happen in the Bible. And one of the more significant ones was when the nation of Israel made a temple, built the temple. They went out of a temporary structure into the temple. And how they ran that campaign, we took a page out of that several days ago, where our leaders came, and our leaders were the first to commit. This is because when the temple was built in Israel, the leaders were the first ones to commit to model to everyone else in the nation. Here's what it says in 1 Chronicles 29. Then the leaders of the fathers' houses made their freewill offerings, as did also the leaders of the tribes, and the commanders of thousands and of hundreds, and the officers over the king's work. And then the people rejoiced because they had given willingly, with a whole heart, they offered freely to the Lord. So the people saw what their leaders did, and they rejoiced. We should be rejoicing because we've had some leaders, we invited a bunch of leaders to give their commitments, and I think that we'd be really well served to see the faith and the faithfulness of our leaders.
Thank you.
Isn't that good? See, I love that there was a bunch of different dollar amounts, but it's not the size of the amount, it's the size of the sacrifice. It's the size of the heart. It's the size of the amount of love towards God. And one of the things that many of our leaders teased out was, someone came after me. Crossroads invested in me. Jesus invested in me through this place. We are an amazing investment for us to build into God's kingdom. I don't know if you realize or not, we are the fastest growing church in the nation and the ninth largest growing church in the nation. That is really weird to have those two things side by side. That means, and the weird cynical person would say, well, that means something weird is happening. No, that means God is moving in our church. That means God is having his way with us. That means God has a point in us. God has a purpose. It means we've been laying down our life. Things don't grow unless you lay down your life. The reason the movement of Jesus has grown is because Jesus laid down his life for us. That's love. That's sacrifice. John 15, Jesus says this, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. And this is my commandment, that you love one another. Greater love has no one than this, than he laid down his life for his brother. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." Jesus says, my joy is in you. You will have my joy. Now, it's an interesting thing if you know anything about Jesus. Jesus had a lot of things in his life that were very, very difficult. We looked last week at the passage where it says God loves a cheerful giver. He does love a cheerful giver. The thing is, though, to get to cheerfulness, you have to go through challenge. You can only be a cheerful giver if you're a challenge giver. Passive givers who just wait for the right emotional moment when they have a few bucks to throw are never cheerful spiritually, and they're never cheerful in their giving. Jesus didn't have a lot of cheer when he was on his knees in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was arrested and beaten to a bloody pulp. He was sweating blood. He was challenged. He was challenged. And on the back end, he had cheer because God gave him the name that is above every name. So at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, tongue confess that he is Lord. It's always challenge that we have to go through. In fact, in the Bible, over and over and over and over and over again, every great person we know in the Bible who God has used, they went through challenge. I'm telling you right now, if you're not feeling challenged right now, you're needing to come to a new place here in the next 10 minutes because we should all feel a little challenged right now. On the other side of challenge is where joy is and where cheerfulness is. And Jesus modeled for us what it was like to lay down our life. Laying down your life is always difficult, and the average person will always snicker at why you should lay down your life and why you should sacrifice, but not us. Not us. Not those of us who came in here today. Other people don't want commitment. We do. Other people just want to take the path of least resistance. We don't. Other people just want to have groupthink with everybody else. No, we don't. We want to have God think. We want only God to approve of us and be in our life. That's who we are. It's what we do. And it drives many of the decisions that we do around here where we lay down our life. Why is it that Crossroads only has a couple weeks operating cash on hand? Because we keep laying down our life and giving it to people and blessing people with it. That's why. Why is it that we would actually go to Nicaragua and get 6,000 kids, actually get us to sponsor through another organization, 6,000 kids. No money comes through Crossroads Books. Crossroads doesn't get any cut on it whatsoever. Why would we possibly do that and risk cannibalizing giving here? Because we are laying our life down. This is what you do when you love. You are out of challenge. You lay your life down, and out of it comes cheer. So much cheer over what's been happening in Nicaragua. Just an example, I got an email this last week from a guy who went and visited his sponsored child. And here's what he says. He says, "Too much to even process right now, but I want to thank you quickly. We arrived in Managua last night and spent the day with our compassion child, Israel Alexander Molina, and his family today. And at 8 years old, your suggestion of fart potty was spot on. Even the ladies from the center were entertained by making fart noises. Farts know no borders." No, they don't. Farting is the international love language. Yes, it is. It absolutely is. What's powerful here is When you're operating as just a passive giver, like if you're coming here right now and going, oh, I'll just throw a few bucks in or do whatever, I'll see what happens, there's not a lot of joy there because that's not motivated of love. When you start moving into purposeful, okay, now we're starting to get somewhere. You're saying, well, $100 a month on e-gift, I'm going to intentionally do that. Okay, there you go. You're moving beyond passive. That's cool. But then there's a different thing. We start getting into these gears, it starts to really cruise. We start getting into cruise control. If you notice, the mission starts moving. We start to say, all right, proportional. What percentage of my income, of my bonuses or whatever, am I just going to give to God? When we get into here, you only start doing this if you're motivated by love. Not fair share, not guilt, if you start being motivated by love. So if you're proportional, and let's say right now you're giving 2%, we're going to say, whatever you're giving above and beyond that, keep that going. Keep that going. Whatever you're giving above and beyond that for 3 years, figure out what that is. Are you going from 2% to 8%? What's that 6% delta? And if you're giving anything else or selling anything, fine, add that in too. If you're going from 4% to 10%, 7% to 12%, what's the delta between where you are and where you're going to go? And just commit to that and write that down. What you find is, once you get up to being a tither, a 10%er, and for some of us, our commitment, we're going to say it's over 3 years, but if you're going to go into tithing, you're going to find you're never going to stop that because you're going to find the benefits in your life spiritually. You're never going to stop that. A lot of us, we've been way beyond tithing for quite some time, and it's because giving has become primal because Jesus told me greater love than no one has than to lay down their life. It's easy to think, well, I'd like to take a bullet for somebody. Okay, will you write a check for somebody? We like to say, well, I'd like to push somebody out of harm's way if I saw a speeding locomotive that at some point. Okay, good. Okay, would you push resources somebody's way? It's easy to think these philosophical, heroic ideas, but what about the day-in, day-out act of love? This is where we become more and more like Jesus. When we start getting into these gears, our identity shifts. We start embracing the idea of a campaign. Math is to engineers what running is to athletes, what giving is to followers of Jesus. You cannot be an engineer if you're not into math. You cannot be an athlete if you're not into running. And you cannot be a follower of Jesus unless you're into giving. You can't. I'm not saying you're going to go to hell. I'm not saying God doesn't love you. I'm saying you cannot be like Jesus and you cannot feel his grace. You cannot feel his approval to the degree you could unless you have a core primal competency of giving. And when that happens, the mission gets driving. The mission gets going. This is not a crossroads awareness campaign. Jesus did not have a sin awareness campaign. Jesus had a sin elimination campaign, a unification plan with us of God, and was laying down his life. And then he says, all who would come after me, come after me. In fact, he says, pick up your cross and follow me daily. This was saying, this is a means of losing your life, of laying your life down a cross, and everyone who should come after me should be up and willing to lose their life for my call. This is how you gain life. You gain life by willing to lose your life out of love. And a simple, not easy, but a simple way to do that is through our giving, through the power of the money that God blesses us, the resources God has blessed us with. Love isn't always peaceful. Love is challenging. You go after story in the Bible. It was a challenge to get to the other side of cheer and the peace that passes all understanding. I got together a few weeks ago with some friends of mine who are warriors around here. They are amazing lovers. They've been amazing givers. It's been primal to them. And I know that I could have gotten with a bunch of people who are here, part of Crossroads, who are on our team, who have been in for a while. But I couldn't get everyone, so I just got a few people. But I think that you're going to get something out of this. Let's visit with what took place on that day. Hey, boys and girls. Sorry to be keeping you guys waiting. Man. Good to see you guys too. Come over here and I'll tell you what we're doing today. Come on.
I know that you guys have been around so long and have just been so amazingly faithful, as well as, what's so hard? I can't.
Don't start us.
No, you know, at times like this in our church's journey, I really find myself appreciating people who've been faithful. Some of us have been around a few years, some of us have been around like 20 years. Maybe we start with you, because I think you are the longest term period. So just tell a little about your story. How'd you end up coming to be part of Crossroads?
Dale said, oh, there's this new church. I'm like, you go, you know, you go check it out. And he came back and goes, I think you'll really like it. Nobody gets dressed up. You can drink coffee. Going in that first day, I was like, this is it.
I wasn't there for the first service, but I think I might have made it for the second service. I really was looking for a place, honestly, that would make it relevant to me every week.
You know, I think when, now I'm going to cry. I think when, for somebody who's a seeker, when you first have that relationship with God, and you guys brought us to it. And so, you know, I look at the impact of Crossroads, it was very personal because it brought me to a place that I hadn't been, that helped me do things that I never thought I would do.
We came in the midst and the crazy campaign started because we were trying to build the new auditorium. It just really was a refreshing place to be.
And it didn't start to feel like a small church until we did our first journey.
There was no church involvement at UC. And so when I started dating Lori, she was on this seeking journey and we were having these conversations.
Our whole dating relationship was basically me being a seeker and asking David every possible question. When we look at our marriage together, we're going to be celebrating 15 years next month. We think about the campaigns as marking moments in our marriage and in our life together. If we were pregnant, who we were pregnant with, it's marked our marriage.
Been defining.
It has been defining.
It's awesome. How about you guys were in the very first campaign?
The way I wrapped my mind around the campaign the first time was, I can't take it with me. That it isn't our money, it's God's money. If I can help other people come to know the Lord, whatever it takes, it's so worth it.
I remember you bringing us up on stage, I think, for the first time during the first campaign. But what I remember is Fran kind of making the commitment up on stage.
$125,000.
You know, and we were sitting on stage and she said that and I went, and we were thinking, we're at the base of something that God's going to do that's going to be massive. When people came forward, everybody's heart was out on the table. God was right there saying, you know, Crossroads, you know, here's my vision. You know, are you riding with me?
I didn't have that vision. You were a bigger thinker than me back then. I was just thinking, we need to have a building that we don't have to set up and tear down every week. That's all I was thinking. So people look, oh, what about the grand vision of Crossroads? There's no grand vision of Crossroads. It was just, how do we reach people like Dale and Fran? And no one would have ever seen what God's doing in our midst right now. The main thing I wanted to do in our interaction wasn't just go down memory lane, though I could do this all day long. We've been in the trenches, we've experienced sacrifice, we've experienced joys. I just wanted to say well done. Just well done. And so there's some other folks that want to tell you, well done.
About 2006, my father died. We didn't really have the best relationship, but I was upset though at that time because I felt like he left. And I didn't get a chance to prove to him that I was gonna be a better man than he was. I got married, got divorced, had a child, but we were stillborn. I was just steadily sinking. I was dying. I was crashing, quit. But I couldn't figure out how to fix it. I finally hit rock bottom. I had no idea where to go. So I ended up calling Crossroads. Had no idea about Crossroads. I just looked online, called him up. And he just talked to me. He said, hey, it's okay. He invited me to his Bible study and I just kind of started going and the identity was being torn apart. I made a commitment to Jesus. And last Sunday I got baptized. I started to come back up. So, my family's doing well. I know myself now through Christ. I just really want to thank you guys for being there. Because if it wasn't for you, I would still be out there sinking. I really appreciate you guys.
Thank you for giving the crossroads and being so generous. I'm already crying. I started coming to Crossroads 10 years ago because a guy that I met in a bar invited me here. And the life I was living 10 years ago was miserable. I had absolutely no purpose in my life. It was about getting drunk and partying and premarital sex and just, I was depressed. I was lonely. I was just so hurt and down. And I just bounced from one unhealthy relationship to the next. I hadn't been to church in 10 years other than, you know, Easter occasionally or weddings. And so I came into Crossroads and it was just amazing to me. It was the first time that I absolutely loved church. I had grown up dreading church. I hated it. But suddenly at Crossroads, I couldn't wait to go. It was my favorite part of my week. I went from hearing a message of Jesus that was just like a boring history lesson that was knowledge in my head to, at Crossroads, hearing a love letter from God that I could receive and believe for the first time. I finally believed in my heart that Jesus died for me, that Jesus died for my sins and for all my bitterness and all my sexual sin and all my just lies and deceit. And I was just overwhelmed with gratitude and I was all in. I was all in that moment and 10 years ago, and I've been all in since. I stopped having premarital sex right away. I started volunteering. I started giving. I quickly went to tithing, and I've been able to commit to the last two, well, now three campaigns. And I know Jesus now. I didn't know him before, and that guy that brought me into Crossroads 10 years ago, we were baptized together here, and a month later we were married. We've been married for 9 years, and we have two amazing children together, and my life is forever changed. I'm not on a path to hell anymore. I have so much hope and so much love, and just thank you.
Somewhat overwhelming.
So we're Matt and Caitlin. Early 2012, all marriages have problems, but we've been having a rough time. And Matt came to me and said, I don't want to be married anymore. I don't want to be with you. I don't love you. And I want a divorce. Less than a week later, I found out I was pregnant with our fourth child. And I was like, okay, God, what are you up to? Because this is definitely not what I was thinking was going to happen. I kept coming to Crossroads, even though he didn't. We separated. I kept bringing our three kids that we had at the time. And it was just a place of consistency where I heard truth every week and I was loved on. My kids were loved on. And going to kids club and hearing that Jesus loved them, even though their family wasn't being held together, they still had a father in heaven who loved them. And that was really important to me. I heard truth about my marriage and not giving up and praying for my husband. And sometimes, I don't know why, but sometimes he even came with me when we were separated. I convinced him to come with me. But in 2013, we did get a divorce. He had very emphatically said, I'm not going to pray. I don't want anybody to pray for me. I never gave up praying for him. I kept coming to Crossroads. I kept bringing my kids. My five-year-old child would pray every day that her daddy's heart was changed and that he would come back to loving God and loving our family. There was tons of people, hundreds of people praying for our marriage. His parents had us on every prayer list possible. And he said a simple prayer in his car one day and said, just shattered him.
Yeah, just a simple prayer like, God, if you're out there, I don't know if you still love me, but I'm gonna reach out to you. And he did. He answered the prayer big time. Just my heart softened up a feeling I can't explain of just a weight lifting and God pouring his love into me. And I knew it was from our community, other Christ followers, just people who loved us and was praying for us.
Yeah.
And the feeling was just, I couldn't deny it was Jesus. It was God just working in my heart.
We got back together. Yeah, we reconciled, and you started coming to church again.
I did.
And
I've joined Father's Group, so every Friday morning. And through that, got into a Brave group. Some really good friends I'm making, went to Man Camp as well. I just want to thank you guys because all these amazing things have touched our life so much, helped me become the man that God wants me to be for my wife, for my daughter, for my family. We just thank you so much. Without your vision and generosity, I don't know where we would be, but I'm so happy where we are, and our fifth baby girl is on the way. She'll be here. She'll be here in December. So I want to thank you guys. So glad. Thank you.
My senior year of high school, through a bad series of events, my dad took his life. When I was 17, and that left a huge void. He and I were super close, and we did a lot of life together. For some reason, after that, I felt like I needed to man up and just be this great performer for God, and that I had to earn his affection and earn his love. You know, I missed my dad. He was everything, and over the past year, through the truth that's been spoken over me and through me and in this community, I know he is my father, and he is a good, good father. And he wants to bring me along, and I get to be a part of the family business, and I'm seeing that in Uptown. And I want to be a part of his mission, setting the captives free, and I get to do it with my heavenly father. And it's because of people like each of you that made that possible. Truly, from the bottom of my heart, thank you.
High five.
You see, when I was 18, I met my earthly father for the first time. Before that time, before meeting him, I always thought, you know, he must not have any daughters, because if he had daughters, he would know how awesome it is, and he wouldn't have been away from me for so long. I met him for the first time, and I met his two daughters also. And my heart was crushed. My dreams were crushed. All the thoughts that I had about why he was away, they were crushed. And so for the next 27 years, I took my heart and I put it in a steel cage, so that nobody could hurt me again. And I did a lot of things to make sure that I didn't feel that way again. I drank a lot. I drank to the point of numbing myself. I took all kinds of drugs. I slept with all kinds of men so that I could just prove to myself that I was lovable. I couldn't bring myself to forgive my husband for his infidelity. And worse yet, I couldn't humble myself to ask him to forgive me for mine. And so I walked away from my marriage of 21 years. My life was heading toward a perfect storm when I walked into Crossroads. We were asked to write on the bottom of our shoe a lie that we believed Satan was telling us. And so I wrote on the bottom of my shoe that I'm not loved. And I don't know that I believed anything about Satan or anything like that, but I know I believed I wasn't loved. And one of the next services I came to at Crossroads, we were talking about 300 people going to South Africa. And I remember sitting there, and something inside of me said, "You're going to South Africa. You've got to go to South Africa." And so that week I found out that there was a meeting of these 300 people, and I went to the meeting with my passport. And I walked in the room and I said, "Can you tell me who's in charge?" And I walked up to him and I said, "I'll do whatever you want me to do, but I've got to go on this trip." And he said, he said, are you sure? And I said, yes, I have my passport. He said, we're gonna buy the tickets tomorrow. Are you sure? I said, yes. He said, okay. And I remember turning around and walking to my seat and thinking, that must be what love feels like. That must be what it feels like to be loved. I didn't have to prove anything. I didn't have to perform. I just said, I want to go on this trip. And he said, okay. I came back from South Africa and got baptized right away at Crossroads. I said, I want to follow Jesus. And what I've learned because of your generosity is that I am loved. I am a beloved daughter of Jesus Christ. And I have been bought for a price, and I am loved.
Thousands and thousands of people who don't even know you would love to say thank you. I know you guys operate at a different level than that spiritually. You operate on a warrior level. You're not trying to do nice things or to be thanked. You're trying to honor your king. And you know your king would say to you, well done, good and faithful servants. Well done. Great. Great.
The reason all of us give is because we want to see other people, everybody here, get to a deeper, sweeter, more intimate place with him where the blessing is. And that's what the giving is all about. That's the purpose.
You've always said it's not bricks and mortar. It's about changing individual lives. And this is just a testimony to that. You know, there's no price that you can put.
So I want to say thank you for creating a place where our lives, they have a purpose. So many people in my town, the biggest purpose of their families is like how their kid's going to do in soccer next weekend, or what college he's going to go to, or how do the Bengals play, or, and it just, it's like we have a life that has a purpose. There's no amount of money I would not give to be a part of it.
The vision that we saw going forward is that everybody, as many people as we could, you know, would have that, and that everybody has a chance to be at this table, and all you will be at this table in the years ahead and for generations. And it's powerful, but it's just the way I think God wants it.
I know there's many of us in here. I could have invited you and you could have been at that table. And I just hope you feel the pleasure of understanding the impact that God has had through you, through us. Who doesn't want to be in on that? I don't understand. Oh, man, all day, every day. In fact, when we see this, we're starting to follow in line with the greats of the Bible. The Apostle Paul in the book of 2 Corinthians said, I will gladly spend and be spent for your souls. Gladly. I will gladly lay down my life. I will gladly give who I am. I will gladly not hoard. I will gladly go after who you are, God. And so today, in just a few minutes, we get to see who else wants to do that. We get to see who else wants to step in and say, God, I want you to use me to the nth degree. Whenever I make a commitment like this, there's three pools of resources I look at. The first pool of resources I look at is my regular paycheck that I get. And Lib and I look and say, all right, of the money that we have coming in, is there anything that we need to change about our budget, tighten this up, that give a higher percentage out, a higher proportion out? Is there anything we need to do on a higher proportional level? And let's just identify that, whether it's cutting out cables, doing this, saving less, whatever it is. And then the second pool is we say, all right, what about the assets we have? Is there anything we need to liquidate right now? What do we want to liquidate right now that we have in savings? What do I have like that we can sell? So like one of the things that we'll be liquidating is I got a motorcycle I've been fixing up in the garage. That's going to get sold, and that's going to go to the campaign. We look at other things. What's the pool of assets that we have? And the third thing is the faith one. It's the X factor. It's we consider, God, what might you do in the next 3 years that we're not even sure of, but you've been so faithful doing things in our lives the last 3 years that we wouldn't even seen happen. What can we include in a commitment that we don't are not totally ironclad, it's not in the bank right now, but we just sense is going to break for us? And we put that in there. All those things come together, result in us laying down our life. Laying down our life. Jesus, when he said, take up your cross and follow me, he means it. He means it. When the Apostle Paul says, I will gladly spend and be spent for your souls, he meant it. And he had the joy from it. In the book of 1 Corinthians, it says, I die every day for all who are going to be in today. You're going to get dog tags. What's the point of dog tags? The point of dog tags is to identify you if you die. That's the point of dog tags. And you're going to be able to get dog tags here that remind you that you're in and remind us that this is the call of those who would be coming after Jesus out of love to lay our life down. And I'll tell you what, the temptation, the larger we get at the crossroads, is to become more and more conservative, to become more and more safe. There may come a day when people at crossroads just hunker down to try to make crossroads more efficient. Today is not that day. There may come a day at crossroads, there may come a day in the future where people come across and say, I just need to come someplace where I can just be affirmed for who I am, not worry about the problems of the world, not be like Jesus, just learn more Bible knowledge. There might come a day like that. Today is not that day. There may come a day when the leaders of crossroads kowtow to all the passive people, all the weenies who don't want challenges, all the people who don't want the call of Christ, all the people who just want a nice church existence. There may be a day when leaders go down that path. Today is not that day. There may come a day when we at Crossroads are only concerned about ourselves. There may come a day when the people at Crossroads are only worried about their own internal programs, their own internal savings, their own internal sort of feel-good stuff, while people who are poor and broken and neglected and raped in our city and around the world aren't helped. But today is not that day. Today is not that day. There may come a day when people at Crossroads don't want challenge. All they want is to be told that you're okay exactly the way they are. All they want is to have a Christian country club. All they want is to have good feelings and never have to be like Jesus. But today is not that day. Today, we pick up the mantle God has given us. Today is your defining moment. Today is our church's defining moment, whether we want to play church or whether we want Christ. Whether we want comfort or whether we want commitment, whether we want status quo or whether we want cheerfulness that comes from challenge, that's today. That's what we're doing today. I'm giving it to you, brother. I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you. I think it's a brother. Maybe it's a sister up there. I can't tell, but absolutely I am. All right. Let's pull this out right now. Let's go. Come on. Come on. You can do this. Yes, you can. Come on. All right, so I'm going to circle up with your spouse. You're here with the spouse, and we're going to put a number in. Again, this is 3 years above and beyond what you regularly give. And let's just have a little time of silence and prayer. So, God, as we do this right now, I know that your heart is for the broken. And we have the broken in here, and the broken are those who need you more than ever. And you have in here those who want to be like you. And so, God, would you speak? If there's a number that you want us to put down, have us know it right now. If there's a free will, freedom, worship sacrifice that we're going to come up on our own three buckets I just talked about, God, hear this, that this is your people saying that we're in. We're in on you and your plan. Okay, when you're ready, there's no hurry at all. When you're ready, what you'll do is if you'll come down these stairs, please don't come down the side because we're going to get jammed up. You'll come down these stairs, down these aisles. You'll come up on stage. You'll come over and you'll drop in your card and you'll also receive your dog tag. You can go back to your seat if you'd like. You can stand here and worship. We're just going to sort of soak in this moment because I'll tell you what, friends, this is a very rare thing. to be enlisted by God and the things that he's doing and sense that you're with people who want to be like Christ. It's a beautiful thing. So soak this up as we decide to lay down our lives and declare to God, I'm in on your plan and your purposes. Standing in line to commit. Standing in line to give. This is worship. This is giving unto God a pleasing aroma, a sacrifice. It says, God, I want you. Well done, friends. Man, I'm so proud of you. Well done.
Where you lead me, Lord, I
will seek your face and not your hands. Whatever pleases you will be our path.
Be open in case you're still processing. That's totally cool. And boy, this is look at the hardcore people in here right now giving and staying after worship longer. So God, pray for your blessing on everyone who's here and everyone who was here. In fact, I look at all these empty seats. We have seats that are filled up at 10 o'clock, 11:45, and all of our other sites. I just pray that we would have more who would follow the lead of these warriors of yours here this morning. God, thank you that you give us a vision that's beyond the norm. Thank you. In your name I pray, Jesus. Amen. All right, have a great week. We'll see you next weekend.